This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
They're not built to be a team that has a lot of speed. Won't be changing the dynamic a lot. Guess how many bases he stole last year?
50.
How do you know that? RJ, did you just tell him that?
I'm going to tell you how he knows it.
How did he know it?
And it's troubling why you don't.
Oh, no. It's in the rundown? You know what? I've used my rundown sheet for the standings on who's made the most nasty comments.
It totally counts as
so one. I provide you with the rundown scrap paper.
Well, I guess in some ways, yes.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I mean, they hoed and hummed about it. They look at the WBC.
Hoed and hummed.
What am I supposed to say? Hummed and hoed?
Yeah, I think so.
Hemmed
and hawed. Damn it.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I like that. They hummed and hoed about it.
I can't remember not being able to speak like this when we did different hours.
We had the one real big one earlier today. Were you talking about your oat milk?
Oat milk?
Yeah. That was not a good one.
No, it wasn't great at all.
You've not had a great day today.
My overnight oats.
Oat milk. Oat milk.
Well, you know what it sounds like? You ever see the movie, is it Hitch with Will Smith?
Yeah, when he gets
the allergic reaction and his tongue swells up three times the size of its normal capacity.
Oat milk.
If you listen closely, I think you had an allergic reaction.
It was almost like my tongue was too big for my mouth.
Yeah.
No, oat milk.
Yeah, right? Oh, God. I have a peanut allergy. That's what it sounds like to me.
It wasn't great.
No, it really wasn't. Yeah. This portion of the show, driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. So we started the show. Spent a good bit of time on it, and I think it was necessary. The Knicks last night, 57 points from Julius Randle. You shot over 50% from the floor. You scored 134 points. Oh, and guess what? You lost the game because defensively, the Knicks last night were as bad as you've seen. And down the stretch in winning time, the Knicks did not make the plays they had to make.
No, they didn't. Last just over 5 minutes, they scored 7 points. Now, it was a wasted. I mean, it was an unbelievable effort by Julius Randle. Late in that game, I mean, after you fought all the way back, you're down 17 in the first half. You cut it to 9. Come on the third quarter, you go back down 16. But you found a way, fought back, took the lead, and then
by
late
five
in the game.
It wasn't a one-point lead. You took a five-point lead.
Right, yeah, five-point lead. But again, you only scored 7 points in the last 5 minutes. You did not execute. You had bad turnover. Julius had a turnover. Quickly had a turnover. Quickly decided to foul on a three. You came out of a timeout and drew up. I mean, whatever the play was that was drawn up, it was quickly settling for an off-balance three-pointer that was no good. And then all of that led to eventually you got a defensive stop that you needed, and Julius kind of went up a little, I don't know if he was gassed or not, a little nonchalant with the one hand.
Oh, for the rebound? Yeah, he should have gotten that.
Yeah, it got stolen, and that was it.
And to answer your question, yeah, he was gassed. You watched him. Like, I've never seen it so obvious. He was exhausted in that game. And I get that he had this number, which was staggering, and he wound up with 57. It's the third most in Knicks history. But I felt like they overplayed him last night. Like, he had nothing left at the end of the game.
He was their option, man. I mean, he had 26 points in the third quarter.
Which is the most any player has ever scored on the Knicks in one quarter of play.
That's right.
And they still lost.
Yeah, they still lost because defense was optional last
night. That's why they
lost. Came out, and it was no good from the start. And listen, I mean, did Minnesota do a good job making shots? Yeah, they started 10 for 10. But you can't let a team like that that's missing their two best players come out and score 42 points in the first quarter. It's unacceptable.
No. See, at some point, I mean, do you understand how rare it in fact is to play 48 minutes and not play well defensively for the entire time?
At some point, you thought that was going to be able to be, like, say enough and turn it on.
No. And watching the game where you're like, okay, they're down 14, they're down 17, then they fight back. That all in the second half, crunch time, at some moment, all right, now the defense, the switch kind of flips, and all of a sudden they're better defensively?
I assumed, and maybe it's my own fault, there was a point where it was like, okay, we have the lead, let's ice this thing. It hasn't been pretty. It's a game we're supposed to win.
Right.
We keep fighting back. We now have the lead. Let's just make sure we close this thing out. Don't let this one slip away.
Very frustrating. Let's take a listen to some of the particulars. Here's Jalen Brunson saying they have to be better defensively.
Just frustrating. Got to give them credit and they didn't miss, but we didn't make a miss. Offense wasn't our problem today. Defensively, I was terrible. I got to be better. Yeah, it starts with me. I just got to be better on defense.
And the thing that's so frustrating, and we heard from Thibodeau earlier in the show, was that he said we gave them so much confidence early in that game, and they never took it away. Like, you made it easy for them, and it helped them. You didn't bury them. You could have buried them early, taken a 10-point lead. They quit. They're done. They don't have Towns. He hasn't been around forever. Edwards is out. That's not a team that should beat the Knicks, and they did.
No, because you gave them confidence early.
That's right.
They shot 73%. They scored 42 points. Torian Prince gutted us. I mean, the man hit all 8 of his threes. Guy averages 9 points a game. He scored 35 last night.
That's insane.
But they beat you in all the categories that, I mean, usually, like, Knicks defense in the paint, usually good. Not last night.
Robinson was awful in that game last night.
Right. He wasn't good. Second chance points you lost. I mean, free throws in the second half, 19-7 free throws in the second half.
Well, how many times did the Knicks foul the Timberwolves on 3-point shots? At least twice.
I think it was quickly both of them, too.
Yeah. I mean, and the second one was like, what are you doing? At least the first one, he was out there and he was defending it. The second one was like, what are you doing?
And then you had the Hart steal, and he looks like he's going to go up for a layup, misses it, and they come back down and hit a three, tie the game up.
Yes. Very frustrating. Let's go to some of the calls. 1-800-919-3776. RJ is feverishly working on stuff you missed at the moment. This is a big celebrity at the Garden. And he met our Raymond J. Santiago shooter in Stanford. Good morning, shooter.
Good morning, boys. Good morning, company. Yes, I got to meet the famous Ray Santiago. Although the death of Private Santiago was tragic, it probably saved lives.
Was he all you were hoping he was going to be, shooter?
He was. He's a good guy. He gave me some time. He was a busy man. He works his ass off, as you guys know. Your show, been at the Garden. I can't believe he does that. I just went to the Knicks game, and I'm completely beat today. So, yeah, he's a good guy. You guys are lucky to have him. This is a great show, and that's why it works, because you guys are all good guys. So keep it up. As for the Knicks, that game was electric, baby. And you guys are right. Julius Randle, at the end of that game, was finished. Like, he barely could dribble. He was so tired. And that Timberwolves team, although they're missing their best two players, they had length. Like, they had three guys who looked like Kevin Garnett out there. Like, it was difficult. That's why Brunson couldn't guard anybody. Jalen Brunson was so tiny. He looked small. Like, he couldn't guard those guys. And they were fast and athletic. Like, it was just another glaring issue that came out last night, right, against that team, that the Knicks are missing that one piece, right? Because we were waiting for someone to step up.
Yeah, but I don't know if
Brunson's all the way back yet either.
And you're not missing, and thanks to the call, you're not missing one piece against Minnesota. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't have used that. Yeah, I would not use that as a game. Like, I'm not, am I upset that they lost? Yeah, I'm upset that they lost. I don't think this is, this is not something that I'm going to get held up on and say this is going to be what, you know, it's a problem.
I mean, you lose a game to Boston, you say, God, they have Tatum, they have Brown, we just don't have that one piece they have. That's fine. You should never finish a game with Minnesota when they're hobbled the way they are and say, boy, they just have pieces we don't have.
Well, last night, yeah, they did not have pieces. I mean, is length something that could give us trouble?
Sure.
Yeah, that could give us trouble. But, I mean, I think that was more just not coming out with your best effort.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it was all want, and I felt like the Knicks didn't have that to start the game, and then the confidence built for Minnesota, and it just kind of spiraled. Shant in New Hyde Park. Good morning, Shant.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing today?
What's up, buddy?
Not much. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I wanted to just touch up on yesterday's game. Julius Randle was clearly gassed, and I understand, man, he's made a huge change for the better as far as temperament. I mean, the guy's clearly hustling and caring. But still, when it comes down to crunch time, he's making these almost like cringeworthy mistakes. And again, I get it, he's gassed. But like yesterday, he had the ball stripped from him because he was trying to be cute. He did like this around-the-back move. It was a little sloppy. Again, yes, because he was tired from all that. But then the rebound, and immediately after he got the ball stolen, he committed an awful frustration foul. It's just like it's a give and take, right? How much is he worth? He's given all this effort, but he's still proven that during crunch time, like, I would get scared with him in the playoffs. Again,
we'll see.
It's hard to trust him.
Well, listen, I don't think you're wrong. He's had a phenomenal regular season. I think that a lot of the Knicks fans are anticipating him in the postseason. A lot good, some bad, and we'll see. We don't know what he's going to be in the postseason. Last time out, the Knicks were, just talent-wise, were not nearly in the same category as Atlanta. I think talent-wise, they're much better than they were 2 years ago.
It's the one negative with Julius Randle. It's the turnovers. And he's not wrong. I mean, they were down, I think, 4 at that time. He went behind the back, got the ball stolen. But I don't expect him, and I think last night was kind of unique because he was just, I mean, he was on fire. So you wanted the ball in his hands. But late in games, in important playoff games, Jalen Brunson will have the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And I thought it was difficult. Listen, I mean, Jalen Brunson gets into the lane, and he's awesome at getting to the lane, and you got Rudy Gobert standing there, who's one of the best defensive players in the league.
Sure.
At his size.
And quickly missed a bunch of little shots, too. And Brunson missed a bunch of little shots. And then R.J. Barrett's not even playable down the stretch of these games. So it's the same things that we talk about. When the Knicks lose, Rick, it's the same things every single time almost.
Yeah, but again, I mean, what makes last night bad is that you wasted an unbelievable effort from Julius Randle. The place was going wild. They don't have their two best players. And, I mean, it was plain as day early in that game. Just the defense wasn't there.
It was not there. Will in West Orange. Hi, Will. You're on 98.7, buddy.
How you doing? I'm just calling because I wanted to piggyback off the guy saying that we needed one more piece, that we're missing a piece. And I honestly think we do because Julius Randle is a good player, but he's average at best. He has them certain games like tonight where you said the guy averages 9 points and he went for 35. You have games like that, but we need a consistent player. Brunson also is just, to me, he's an above average point guard, but we need a dynamic player that's going to take the game over and not be gassed at the end of the game. And
well,
play
Will,
defense.
I mean, how are you going to get this?
Listen, the Knicks been screwing themselves. I'm a longtime fan. I'm 30 years old, and I've been to Knicks games with Jordan there as a baby. And I could sit here and say the Knicks been shooting themselves in the foot, letting Jamal Crawford go, letting Zach Randolph go. You got to draft, and you got to keep these guys. You got to draft good, and you got to build these guys up. I want to take a note from the Giants. The Giants draft players, and they build them up. Right, the Yankees.
Because the Giants have been great for the last decade. Phenomenal. What the Giants have done is the blueprint for really not only NFL teams but every team going out there right now.
You're completely right. I agree with you 100%. And that's what the Knicks need to do. And you're starting to see it now by not trading away your whole team for Carmelo Anthony. They're starting to get players and keep them and let them shine. Now I'm gonna just add this, and I'm gonna let you guys go. If R.J. Barrett was a better draft pick, we win that game last night. If R.J. Barrett was a better draft pick, we're 25 games above 500. Have a good one.
Hang on a second. You want to play the young guys. You want to draft them, develop them, play them. That's the one thing you say. And then the other thing you say is R.J. Barrett's just not what you hoped that he would be. So what gives? What is it that you actually want?
I just want the Knicks to win.
He wants R.J. Barrett to be better is what he wants.
Well,
I mean, that's
what
he's talking about.
Yeah, basically, I just want the Knicks to win.
But he's not, Will. It looks like this is what he is and what he's going to be. So what is it that you want to have happen on Tuesday morning, the night after the Knicks allowed 140 points last night? What are you looking for?
I don't know. Just finish this season out. I'm looking to finish this season out strong, finishing out better than they did last night because they made a big turnaround drafting for Brunson, and just finish the season out as strong as you can. I'm not going to hold that last night against them forever. RJ has to work. He's supposed to be this godson or nephew of Kobe Bryant. Well, I need to see it. I need to see the work ethic. I need to see you in the gym 9 hours before a game shooting 2,500 shots. You understand what I'm saying? And that's not what I'm seeing from R.J. Barrett.
All right.
I
don't question his work ethic at all.
No.
I just think that it has not translated yet.
Let me get this straight.
Yeah, go ahead.
By the way,
his godfather, Steve Nash, by the way.
Yes, Nash.
Pointing that out.
RJ, if you want me to be the godfather of the baby, I'm more than happy to do it.
I'm sure that's just what he wants.
I appreciate the offer.
Mm-hmm. I get blasted on Twitter because someone calls in and I want to interrupt just to have a conversation and disagree a little bit, and I'm a wagon. You blatantly mock this poor man.
Well, he didn't realize I was mocking him, though.
Right, which makes it worse.
He agreed with you.
Yeah,
right.
And then agreed with you, and I'm the jerk.
Well, because he compared. He's like, the Giants do it the right way. The Giants have won playoff win in the last decade, and were the laughingstock of football for years. So how are the Giants the recipe?
You could have said that. You didn't have to mock him.
I had to. I couldn't help it. Sorry.
No, I see what he's saying. We all want the same.
As far as he knows, he didn't mock him. He was right.
Yeah, he thinks he's good. That Rothenberg, he brings up salient points. He's good. The other guy, no good.
I know. We all want the same thing, man. That's all we want.
He's like, we need a star. Okay, great. I'd like a star also. You're not going to walk down Broadway this afternoon.
No, I think that it's pretty clear at this point, and I'm sure Tibbs is telling the guys the same thing. We're not good enough to just show up. It doesn't matter how good the team is you're playing. They're all NBA players. They could have, you could play the Nuggets with the reigning back-to-back MVP and find a way to win. And if you don't show up against a team that doesn't have their two best players, that has lost three in a row and five of six, and you don't bring your hard hat and actually play defense,
you're going to allow 140 points.
You're
going
to lose.
And you better figure it out. All right. We've given him a nice window here. RJ Santillo, daddy to be, stuff you missed.
Now.
See ya.
Bang! Touchdown! Rebound score!
The you missed.
So you probably didn't miss Julius Randle. And if you did, by now he scored 57.
That's a lot of points.
Quick little trivia question. So, tied for third, most all time by a Knick. Can you name the other three that include the tie that also had 57 or more?
Bernard King.
Yep, 1984 had 60 against the Nets.
Carmelo Anthony.
Guerin was one too, right?
Richie Guerin. 1959, 57 points against the Nationals. And yes, Dave, Carmelo Anthony on a Friday night against the Bobcats, 62 points in 2014. Good job, both of you.
Yeah, we're very talented. Was that in the rundown?
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would know. I could tell you.
No, right. I wouldn't know, but I'm just saying, was it in the rundown?
Yeah, if Rick wasn't here, I'd say yes. Mm-hmm. But he is, so I tell you the truth.
But I'm using the rundown as a sheet to keep score of who's being nastiest on the show today.
What's the score, by the way?
Rick is doubling up the next closest competitor.
You saying that, there was a kid, I told you this story before, the kid at BU where Parker was like, why haven't you read this book? He's like, how would I read it? It's holding my bet up.
It's a good point.
So, you know what? And that player turned out to be Mario Lemieux.
From one Mario to another, Mario Chalmers had some really interesting things to say on the Playmaker podcast about LeBron James.
Nobody fears Bron. Nobody's like, damn, I gotta go play against Bron tonight. Nobody said that. I don't know why.
Right.
Because I've seen people be scared when they actually line up to him, but they're not scared thinking about that matchup.
Right.
You hear anybody from that era talk about going against Jordan, there's a fear.
Right.
So when you have people that fear a player, then that's telling you something different already. Like, Jordan's just that guy. Like, everything was, I want to be like Mike.
Right.
Mario Chalmers should not be allowed to have arms to shoot a basketball in the fourth quarter.
What is that?
Some of Jay Farrow's best work.
He should be dismembered and rigged with metal attachments like Edward Scissorhands. Until the final buzzer.
He's Stephen A. in that. Oh, great stuff. So
that's SNL?
Yeah. So Chalmers did also confirm in the interview. You remember a long time ago.
By the way.
Yeah, he was wide open. Kansas. He was wide open in the corner there.
He was wide open. He also at one point had to be separated, he and LeBron, during a timeout. Chalmers confirmed what most of us have long suspected, that LeBron told him to stop playing like a...
Oh, really?
A bleep.
A kitty cat?
A bleep.
Did you hear I said
Chalmers!
Kansas.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, he had one of the biggest shots ever. We know.
Against Rick? Who did he hit that shot against? We heard it.
I don't know.
Memphis.
Because Derrick Rose missed some free throws.
That was I remember that.
Courtside at that game.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Highest I've ever finished in a bracket pool.
In fact, when Kansas was cutting down the nets, I was right there.
I finished.
Like literally on the court about to, I thought they were going to ask me to cut down the final piece of the net.
I finished second in a bracket pool that year.
Still good for you.
Best I've ever done. Never won one.
Good for
Imagine
you.
Imagine if you see Dave just grabs Mario Chalmers and throws him off the ladder.
Mario, it's my time.
He looks like Mankind. He's flying off the cage. Dylan Brooks picked up his 18th tech of the season yesterday. They won. They beat Dallas, who they have their own issues. So he could be what, suspended another game, I believe.
Who, Dylan Brooks?
I believe so. That preceded a very strange incident, we'll call it, between Dylan Brooks and Kyrie, where there was a jersey exchange. Dylan Brooks hands Kyrie his jersey, and Kyrie hands Dylan Brooks his jersey, and he doesn't take Dylan Brooks' jersey back.
He didn't want it.
No. So Dylan Brooks just has two jerseys.
Kyrie was awful in the fourth quarter last night.
Safe to say that's not working so good.
No. So currently, listen to this. Warriors are 37-36. That's the sixth seed.
They actually won on the road last night.
Yes, they did. Mavericks are the seventh seed at 36-36. Timberwolves are the eight now at 36-37. Thunder 35-36. Jazz 35-36. Lakers 35-37. And the 12th seed, the Pelicans, 34-37. From 6 to 12. Is separated by one game in the loss column for every one of those teams.
Rick mentioned that Warriors won their first road game since January 30th.
My God.
Beating the Rockets. That's 11 amazing. In a row, losing on the road.
Does that even count, though, winning against the Rockets?
Well, speak of the Rockets, the Grizzlies are hopeful that John Morant will be back tomorrow night when the Grizzlies take on the Rockets. He scrimmaged yesterday with Memphis, so he's back. Rick Pitino, head coach. St. John's, six-year deal, according to Woj. Meanwhile, this is a bit awkward. The former St. John's coach, Mike Anderson, he will file a lawsuit because he said he was wrongfully terminated.
Oh, stop it. They stunk.
Is that with cause when you lose that many games?
Of course it's with cause.
Well,
Did they go to the tournament during his tenure with St. John's?
No.
Okay, so what are we talking about?
Losing. Ed Cooley's new head coach at Georgetown, the rare Big East transfer.
That's right.
Goes from Providence to Georgetown, which tells me he got paid a lot of money.
That's right. Apparently, I was reading there's a lot more NIL money at Georgetown. Ipso facto, much easier to bring guys in there.
So, you remember a few weeks back I told you about Antoine Davis? He was on the verge of becoming the all-time men's college hoops leading scorer.
Detroit Mercy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Good job. He trailed Pete Maravich by 4 points, and we are awaiting Detroit Mercy if they would get invited to a postseason tournament.
Dirty pool.
Well, they did not. They finished 14-19 on the year, so I guess you can make a case they didn't deserve to, but he will finish second all time behind Pistol Pete.
Doesn't he deserve to be second all time to Pistol Pete, though?
Yes. First of all, Pistol Pete did a three-point shot, and he did it in 3 years. And does this team at 14-19 deserve to go to a postseason tournament?
Probably not. Davis wasn't happy, though. Said he feels he got cheated out of something they can't ever give back, and that they did not want him to break the record.
No, they were not deserving of going to a postseason tournament.
I'll tell him that.
Tell him. Get him on the line.
Cold call.
Get him on the line. Right
now. I will call Antoine Davis.
Can I just make a point about college basketball?
Yeah, sure.
I thought it was interesting. So Seth Greenberg was on talking about the Rick Pitino thing, and he made the point that if Cooley for sure left, which he ended up doing anyway, that watch out for Providence trying to swoop in and get Pitino.
Wow.
Could you imagine if that would happen?
I'll tell you what, though. This Pitino to St. John's, and I'm a Georgetown fan, but I love college basketball.
It's a home run.
It's a big deal.
It's going to be a home run.
Quickly, NFL news and notes. Roger Goodell expected to have a multi-year extension as commissioner, stamped and approved by owners. Dalton Schultz, Devin Singletary, they're going to Houston. Damian Harris, he takes Singletary's spot in Buffalo. Cam Newton will throw at Auburn's pro day today. Didn't play last year. He's 34 in May. And you remember last year when we thought there might have been a controversy inside the Patriots organization, Bailey Zappi or Mac Jones?
Yeah.
So Devin McCourty, who just retired 13 years with the Pats, he confirmed that. He said that's true on WEEI in Boston. He said the locker room was legitimately split.
Great.
That's good for you.
Just pour some gasoline on the locker room.
There you go. Works for you.
Attaboy, Devin.
And lastly, Mets lose to the Nats 3-2. Verlander gives up two over 4 2/3, 6 walks. Not good.
That's not good.
WBC final tonight, Japan and the USA. Shohei Ohtani, who sparked a rally with a leadoff double in the ninth yesterday over Mexico, expected to pitch in relief, be available, and said St. Francis in Brooklyn will drop their D1 program at the end of this semester.
Oh,
21
man.
Years, or 21 NCAA teams over 4 decades is a D1 program.
Very sad.
Did anyone see the ball that Shohei Ohtani hit yesterday in warm-ups in batting practice?
No. Was it a bomb?
Oh, look it up.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's what I'm going to do, because I find that I like to facilitate your greatness here on the show.
Yeah, I bet you do. Okay.
That's what I find. By the way, was that when you did that read just now for London Jewelers?
Yep.
And you said something about like engaged, and then you to Raymond. Was that?
Yep.
Was that a shot, Raymond? Did you hear that as well?
Do you want to call that a shot?
Well, I mean, were you clearing your voice legitimately, or was that a...
He knew what he was doing.
He's not getting any younger.
Okay, so that's a shot, and that is... All right. So
do we not all want baby Santiago's running around?
I don't think you want these.
Why would we not? I think absolutely we want those problems. But you don't have to take shots.
You could just say we'd love... do whatever you want.
We'd love for Ray to have a baby. You don't have to say...
Multiple babies.
We don't have to say... Engaged.
They haven't been the whore cats.
Just giving a subtle hint.
So I have two shots at RJ.
It's not very subtle.
Two shots at me, and now one shot at Santiago.
About as subtle as a sledgehammer.
It's nasty.
Well, maybe if you used it more often, Raymond.
Hang on. That's six.
I don't think that was a shot.
Wasn't a shot.
They keep playing my oat milk thing. That's multiple shots.
No,
we're concerned for you.
My tongue got a little bit too big for
a second. We have doctors analyzing that nonstop because you just magnified that.
If I'm going to take you behind the curtain, I didn't sleep at all last night.
Oh, here we go. What? Why?
None.
Why, Bubby? Why'd you not sleep?
Because I was all fired up about the Knicks, and then I watched the rest of the WBC, and then my elbow was...
WBC was over by like 10:30.
But usually I'm asleep by then.
Okay.
But I was up, and I think I stayed up too late, and then my elbow started hurting. I couldn't get comfortable.
You sound like my mother.
Bad. My hand hurt.
I stayed up too late. I missed my window, then my elbow, then my hand. How awful for you. All right. So I'm here to facilitate your greatness.
Okay.
I have a nice NFL free agency list for you.
Ooh.
Experts debate the most improved teams, experts from ESPN. Or I can take a couple calls, or we can hear some audio from maybe like a Jay Billis on Rick Pitino, or Dan Orlovsky will say something that you, I think, will agree with and like. So you tell me.
It's a lot.
I know. This is what I do.
That's a lot.
I have a lot of meat on the bone.
All right. So I'm going to bring it. I'm breaking it down to, I do like calls. We haven't taken calls in a while.
Right.
Let's go calls.
Uh-huh.
And then let's go. I want calls first.
Calls first.
And then I want to play the game.
Okay.
Calls.
And then I would like to play Orlovsky for you.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to, I don't think you'll love this call, but we get to it because it's what we do. Max in Mountainside. Hi, Max. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi. It's first time, long time. Love that you're on an extra couple hours. I'm actually a call. And I just want to say that I am a huge, huge Mets fan.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll preface this by saying I'm obviously biased, but I cannot wait for the game tonight so that this thing is finally over.
Why?
So we'll actually get to the real. Why? Because it's totally irrelevant.
What? Why? Why? Because, I mean, you're the get off my lawn guy. Why can't someone, other people, enjoy the World Baseball Classic without you being just get, you know, let's get this thing over. It's awful. Why is it awful?
It's not that they can't be involved. It's that it's not worth the risk of superstar athletes, both on the Mets and out, being around for months at a time. And
all right, his phone line no good. I'm not cutting him off because of what he's saying. I disagree with him. I'm cutting him off because I can't understand what he's saying.
Yeah, but you don't think, so what you don't think is that these guys, knowing that they're going to play in the World Baseball Classic, or if I was going to play in the World Cup of Hockey, wouldn't take the appropriate steps to get myself ready.
The Edwin Diaz injury pains me, like, honestly, like you have no idea. Like,
did you hear what Lindor said yesterday about that?
Oh, he said what? He felt sick about it?
No. He said, I didn't realize how much I loved Edwin Diaz until I couldn't stop crying in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I saw that. So my point is this. The Edwin Diaz injury literally scarred me because I couldn't sleep. You talk about you couldn't sleep last night. That night, I could barely sleep. Every time I rolled over, I'm like, oh, I know it's the season. I know it's the season. I came in here. First thing I did, I felt so bad about it. I screamed at RJ. I think an expletive right at RJ. I felt terrible about it. RJ, you remember that?
No, it's not often you walk into a room and someone yells that at you.
Yeah. So I felt terribly about that. But Edwin Diaz got hurt the most freak way ever possible. Brandon Nimmo got hurt in a spring training game. I mean, I don't understand what it is. Altuve got hurt. It could happen in spring training. It could happen in regular season. It happens. It stinks. I'm not denying that it doesn't stink, but what is it you want to do? Do you just want to eliminate every game until the regular season? Put these guys in bubble wrap? What's the answer that makes it work for you?
Didn't someone just get recently hurt pulling up their pants too?
Stop
point?
It.
No, I think I read a story about someone
got
pants
hurt pulling
themselves.
Up their pants?
Yeah, I could have sworn I saw that. I'll find out who it was. It's because these games don't benefit whoever. I don't know who his team was, but
he said he's a Mets fan,
so it doesn't benefit the Mets. Well, now it plays against the Mets because Diaz gets hurt.
Well, how does any game benefit a fan of a major league team in this World Baseball Classic?
It doesn't. It doesn't, unless you think that actually playing legitimate games now will help you get off to a better start rather than just playing meaningless spring training games. But we spent all this time talking about how these guys get paid too much money, and if it was you, you'd play for free and just the love of the game. Well, guess what? They're playing. They're not getting paid right now. They're playing because they want to represent their countries, and they're having a blast doing it.
And they love it.
Love it.
Now, I disagree with that guy vehemently. The one thing that I do have an issue with is why do the guys have to come out and say, this matters to me more than the World Series? I do feel like that's kind of a shot in the face towards Major League Baseball.
Did Rob Manfred say it sound like he cared about the World Series when he called it a hunk of metal?
Yeah, but I think he made a mistake.
Well, he said it.
I understand he said it. And this thing should matter, and it is great, and it is exciting, and I'm excited for the game tonight. And you know what else I love? The fact they started at 7 o'clock. Need this thing started at 8:15.
You can't tell somebody what matters most. I mean, there are some NHL players that will tell you winning a gold medal for their country is more important to them than winning the Stanley Cup.
Right. And who are you to say no?
I don't agree with it.
No, that's not right.
I don't agree with it, but yeah. I mean, it's how that person feels.
Let's go to Andrew on the train. I think we've found the reason the Knicks are losing games. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Well, it's a good morning for some, not a great morning for me. I'm calling because I need another therapy session. So I called a few weeks ago before the Knicks went out west and, where they lost to the Charlotte Hornets inexplicably. You guys told me to keep trying my luck. I went to the game last night. Not even a 50-point performance could save me from being the mush. I'm distraught after the game. I was just walking the streets.
I remember your call because we kind of determined what the game was that you were supposed to go to, and this was the game, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. I mean, it should have been. It's a layup. It's a layup. No pun intended. It should have been an easy win, and we couldn't stop the Timberwolves from hitting water off a boat. It's me. It has to be me. And I, really, guys, I'm just looking. I'm not going to the playoff games. I can't do this. I'm not going to be the reason we don't win a first round, playoff round.
You really firmly believe, though, The reason the Knicks are losing these games is because you are in attendance at the Garden.
Dave, put it this way. The games I've gone to, Taurean Prince scores 35. DeJounte Murray scores 40. I went to the Hornets game. Gordon Hayward goes for almost 30 points. I mean, guys that don't do this, they're doing it when I'm there. I'm the reason. I have to be the reason, right? How does Taurean Prince score 35 points?
He really believes that he is literally mushing the Knicks.
I feel bad.
I feel genuinely bad for that guy.
I don't even know what to tell him now. I think we told him to go to as many games as possible to try to get it out of his system, but last night's a tough one.
He should try at least one more. I know. He's got to get it.
I have their schedule. I don't want to ask you guys for the schedule. So, I all right. Monday, Rockets at the Garden against the Knicks.
That's the one.
You go to that game. One. They lose that game at home. I agree. Don't ever go again. I agree with you. But I think you have to give it that one more chance.
He's distraught, though. I feel, like, awful for him. I can't argue with his logic at Taurean Prince going off like that.
It's not Taurean.
Whatever. All I remember is the guy, he was describing what a rebound was back at Baylor.
He's a good player. He's a real good player at Baylor.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I got two things that I've tempted you with. I got the list of free agency, and I have the Dan Orlovsky sound. What do you want?
Hey, you tell me. You're the one teasing me with it. Which would I like better?
I think you like them both, and I'm going to do both for you. I just want to know what you'd like first.
Let's go free agency first.
Okay, free agency first. So ESPN put out, I'll read you the little article. Don't bring it up because I'll ask you a couple questions about it. NFL free agency 2023. Experts debate the most improved teams. Here's really the outline of what it is. After a busy first week to the 2023 NFL free agency, the deals have started to slow down a little bit. Teams have added impact players across their depth charts. Though free agents like Beckham, Bobby Wagner still on the market, notably Orlando Brown, Hargrave, Garoppolo, Jesse Bates, they found new homes. So Stefania Bell, Matt Bowen, Mike Clay, Jeremy Fowler, Matt Miller, Eric Moody, Jason Reed, there's a Jason Reed and a Jordan Reed, interesting. Mike Tenenbaum and Seth Walder were all asked. Seth Wickersham and Field Yates. Should we run through who some of these people think had the best free agency period so far in the NFL?
Yes.
All right. Stefania Bell says the Dolphins. Yep. Just added Jalen Ramsey. Dolphins did great work, so be concerned about the Dolphins.
Did you see what Jalen Ramsey said about the coach?
No.
He's weird.
That's what he said.
Yeah, they're like, what do you mean? He's like, he's weird.
What do you think about your coach? I think he's very strange.
He's not faking. He's just.
But that's okay. You think I'm weird?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. I think that the new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals might be a little bit weird.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to play. That seems like fake weird.
Matt Bowen. What team do you think he says has had the most improved?
Hopefully the Jets.
No,
Jets?
Cleveland Browns.
Oh.
Cleveland Browns. Mike Clay, fantasy football expert, genius. Dolphins. Jeremy Fowler. Carolina Panthers.
Panthers, interesting.
Said he loves Miles Sanders, Hayden Hurst.
Andy Dalton they picked up.
Andy Dalton. Matt Miller loves what the Patriots have done. Says Juju Smith-Schuster, Mike Gesicki, excellent additions.
Plus, you're changing. I mean, you got to imagine, too. I mean, getting rid of the mess that was the offensive coaching staff last year.
Yeah, it's addition by subtraction, right? Santiago, Eric Moody, fantasy football writer, says Cowboys. Says Cowboys are so improved, especially on defense, after trading for Stephon Gilmore. They'll pair him with Trayvon Diggs. They bring back Leighton Vander Esch and safety Donovan Wilson, keeping the defense intact for next year. Also, they released Ezekiel Elliott. That's a win.
Harsh.
Yeah. Wide receiver Brandon Cooks is Dallas's biggest offensive addition, giving the Cowboys another vertical threat and a great complement to CeeDee Lamb. So how about that?
That's pretty good. I'll take it.
Santhi, is it a foregone conclusion that if for some reason Dallas struggles, or not struggles, but just doesn't get where Jerry hopes that Dan Quinn's going to be the next head coach?
I don't know that it necessarily means Dan Quinn's going to be the head coach. I guess if the defense is just flat out dominant and the offense doesn't do its job, sure. But
that defense is real good.
But if they don't fulfill expectations, like this is like as all in as they've gone in over a decade.
And plus with McCarthy, right? Now he's the play caller.
That's what I'm going to. McCarthy's taking over the play calling. They're getting him more pieces than they're probably telling him, hey, dude, now or never.
Jason Reed says the Bears. Jordan Reed says the Browns. Mike Tenenbaum says the Broncos.
I like what the Bears are doing.
I don't know how you couldn't.
I actually like what Houston's doing, too.
Are they signing Dalton Schultz to a one-year deal?
Yeah, Houston's making sure that whoever they draft is going to actually have some
right.
Some pieces,
they can give them some weapons, and they lock Tunsil in there. So you're right. Tenenbaum says Broncos, when you factor in the hiring of Sean Payton, the signings of guard Ben Powers and Mike McGlinchey, this sets up as a best-case scenario for any hopes of succeeding with Russell Wilson. Seth Walder says the Dolphins. Seth Wickersham. Rick, what do you think?
Someone has to say, one of these people has to say the Jets.
Well, Seth Wickersham would be your guy.
Yes, Seth.
Says, even though the Aaron Rodgers trade is yet to be worked out, they're going from a young, struggling quarterback to one of the top 10 quarterbacks of all time, and one with a major point to prove.
Yes.
How's that sound for you?
It sounds great.
Saucy,
how could
right?
you not have them, though?
And Field Yates has the Bears. So, sounds like Dolphins, Browns, Bears get the most votes
if
there.
If I see Field Yates today in Bristol, I'm telling him if he doesn't come on within the next 2 weeks...
He'll never come on.
That he is... I don't even know.
And we would have a challenge for me against him and where they go to college?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Bets instead.
Hosted by RJ.
Georgia. RJ, you got one for me right now?
Corey Brewer.
Florida?
Yeah.
Very nice. He's so good. I mean, it's sickening.
It pains you, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't pain me. I love it.
You're proud of it.
I'm proud of it.
All right, here's the Orlovsky that I've been promising for seemingly a very, very long time. You know the way people have said Super Bowl or bust for the Jets? Not Orlovsky. He says that is not, in fact, the case.
I don't think so. I think it's divisional round or bust. One, this offseason for the New York Jets has been tremendous. And I know it still has to happen, but they got a guy that can win you a Super Bowl. Like, if we fast forward 10 months from now or whatever it is, and the Jets lose in the divisional round to the Kansas City Chiefs, and Patrick has a game-winning fourth-quarter drive, I don't sit back and go, man, I bet you the Jets regret that move.
No, of course not. You're going to get into the playoffs. You got to win a playoff game. I would say the line of demarcation is probably AFC championship game. But you're right. If you go to where the Giants went and you lose 31-28, Joe Burrow leads a 90-yard drive with a minute to go and you lose that game, you've had a successful season.
That's what I keep trying to tell you, but you keep shooting me down.
No. I think there are different levels. You have to get in.
Oh, you're going to get in. Otherwise, it's an epic failure.
You make it sound so easy that you're going to get in.
No. I am not trying to make it sound easy. I'm just telling you that they have to get in.
They have to get in.
Have to get in.
But look at this conference. Do you feel fully convinced they win the division?
No.
Okay. So then if you don't win the division, you got to be one, what, of the next three best teams?
Yeah.
This good. I mean, the Dolphins are good. And these are teams that probably won't win the division. The Dolphins are good. The Chargers are good.
Yeah,
right?
Pittsburgh's going to be good.
Pittsburgh's
going to
be better. Cleveland's
going to
be good. Baltimore's good. I think you'll get in.
Jacksonville's good.
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that the Jets unequivocally, absolutely are a playoff team, is all I'm saying.
I know, but you're making my point, though, that you always yell at me about. You have people that keep going with it's a Super Bowl or bust.
But you need it to be that.
They need to get into the playoffs, and then we'll see what happens.
No.
Let's start with, like, how about let's win our division?
You got it. That would be great. You got to get in, and you got to win at least a game.
Okay.
At least.
I would like Can you imagine? Like, how about hosting a playoff game? That'd be awesome.
That'd be great. When was the last time the Jets hosted a playoff game?
A long time. A long time.
I mean, is it like 20 years?
Well, you haven't been in the playoffs in 12.
No, but I don't even think those runs they were hosting playoff games. Remember, they won in New England?
Well, I have the answer.
It's got to be at least like 17 years.
2002.
It's 21 years?
Yeah. They have played 9 consecutive road playoff games.
Oh, my God.
Against the Colts.
Oh, they killed them. Was it 41-0?
41-0, yeah.
The Richie Anderson touchdown.
All right, Raymond, you have 80 seconds to provide 3 stars.
Today's 3 stars. Number 3.
80 should be enough. Mel Kiper joined us again, and he updated us. He's got plenty of whipped cream down to 2 cans. Rick, you're already working on the next shipment?
Yep.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just looking for any excuses I can play.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number 2.
Eventful day for Rick. I hope that he gets the rest that he needs after this show, because he's got TV later.
I mean, they hoed and hummed about it. They look at the WBC.
Hoed and hummed.
What am I supposed to say? Hummed and hoed?
Yeah, I think so.
Hemmed and hawed.
Why did I go to hoed and hummed?
No idea. I don't know why this happened.
No. Oh, well. No. Oh, well.
It's okay.
Number 1.
Trying to say oat milk, I think.
We all struggle in the morning. Dave has started charting things.
You just made the list!
I mean, we all know.
List stink!
That being said, Dave, real quick, how'd the show
Rick made
today?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 insults. You made one, I made one, RJ made 2.
Just one, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
You and I are the least insulting guys on the show.
Say something nasty quick.
Rick did 6. That's a lot.
Good for you, Rick.
Let's go!
You done?
I won the day. I won the day.
All right. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, playing a champion is DPHO Rothenberg and...
Insults.
On 98.7 ESPN. No, oh well.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.